A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Words appear. Netflix presents. A tow truck drives along a snow-covered road. Voiceover.
You know, it doesn't usually snow on Christmas Eve in Laurel, Illinois. But this year, we're lucky.
The tow truck enters the small town of Laurel. People are shopping on foot.
Don't get me wrong. Sometimes snow can really kick you in the ass. But it's beautiful and it's magical.
A teenaged redhead in a pet store.
And trust me, a little bit of snow can make a big difference.
She smiles at a baby pig wearing a Santa hat.
Even if you don't know it yet.
Next to a stuffed toy pig, a teenaged girl lies in bed looking at a photo of herself and a boy on Instagram. Next, a boy sits at a computer.
All right, we're off. Make sure the doors are locked. You take care of yourself, okay?
Love you.
Love you. Here's the thing. Snow can change the way you look at the world.
As soon as his parents are gone, the boy sends out an invitation to a Christmas Eve party.
Or hide the things that are right in front of you.
In a record store, a girl and boy stand across from one another, looking at albums. The boy picks up Marvin Gaye's Let's Get It On. Then he looks over at the girl. She is reading the back cover of the Beastie Boys' Check Your Head. The boy looks down at his album. Now, in a radio station, a man wears headphones and sings into a microphone.
It can even push you down the path you least expect.
I hope all the rest are like this. Oh, well, girl.
The radio show host.
Sally out Chicago's Allstate Arena last night at just 20 years old. Huge thanks to Stuart Bale for coming in. Before we lose you, any big plans for the holidays?
Still figuring it out.
Now, in a bedroom, a girl reads an acceptance letter from Columbia University College of Journalism. It begins, "Dear Julie." She folds up the letter and puts it in a drawer.
But above all, snow has the power to bring us together.
Oh, girl.
And sometimes, just for a moment, and especially on Christmas Eve, that's exactly what we need.
Julie turns and looks out the window at the falling snow. Title, Let It Snow.
I can't believe that.
Now in the city, Julie is next in line at an outdoor kiosk. She sees a mural on a high-rise building advertising the Stuart Bale concert. She rolls her eyes.
Next!
Hi. I'm looking for a New England Farmhand Elf, Volume 2. I ordered it online, but made the mistake of ordering a volume one.
A tiny figurine.
What you need is a time machine to go back to August when I had some.
Okay, is there anywhere else that might have it? My mom's entire Christmas kind of depends on it.
On Christmas Eve? If you find one, you tell me, because I'll make a fortune. Next!
Now, the boy who sent the party invitation is with the boy from the record store. He lights up a word over a fireplace.
Ta-da! Remind me again, your DJ name is K-Pal? Is it Kapow?
No, it's DJ K-Star Pow Money. It's so obvious.
It looks like a text that a baby would send.
Yeah, well, show me the baby that got DJ Tempest to come to his party.
His name is Rob. It's like a regular name. And just because he DJs the Circus pool party doesn't mean he gets to rename himself Tempest.
Look, he's coming to the party, and if he likes the set, he's gonna hook me up with DJ gigs, and that's one step closer to my dream.
So I locked everything breakable in your father's office.
The girl from the record store.
Oh, what about that lamp? Someone could break that.
Someone should break that.
To the record store boy.
I'll be at yours in an hour. I'm picking up chips. What's your dip pairing?
It's movie marathon day, so...
Queso deluxe. I'm gonna get my face in that cheese.
I'm gonna eat so much cheese, I'm gonna give myself a heart condition.
Oh my God. We must stop. All right. Bye, K-Star Dollar Sign Pop Money Crunch.
Bye. I hate you. Woof, man. My balls just retracted into my body.
What?
Tell her that you like her.
That's... You know, I'm going to. Today. I'm gonna do it today.
They head into the kitchen.
Movie day.
Is that official? Can I get that in writing?
You know, I've known her since I was 5 years old, man. It's not that easy.
He picks up two cases of beer.
It actually is that easy. You just have to tell her you want the same relationship plus boning.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. Hey, let me get a pen and write that down, huh?
All I'm saying is you need to live in the truth. There's nothing better than to live in...
His parents and grandparents are at the door. He quickly hands the beer to his friend.
What are you doing? I'm not gonna drink until I graduate from college with honors. What are you doing here? You left.
Flight got canceled. Too much snow.
His father looks at a figurine of two drunk reindeer mating. The boy grabs it and hands it to his friend.
Here, you should go, Tobin.
Tobin leaves, taking the figurine with him. He trips over the adult's luggage on his way out.
Oh my God, sorry. Sorry.
Now, in a bedroom, the redhead and brunette girls.
You're being so weird. I don't get it. Why haven't you texted her?
Dude, I've written and rewritten like 800 texts to her in the last 2 weeks.
Let me see that picture of her again.
The redhead, who is wearing a work uniform, shows the other girl her phone.
Okay, she's very, very cute,
isn't she?
Okay, we should get going. I'm dying to show you this present I'm getting you. I just have to make sure you like it, because it's a pretty big commitment.
Wait, a pig commitment? Is that a clue?
It's the summation of everything you and I have been obsessed with since we were 12.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
The brunette looks at a photo of a girl on Instagram. She frowns.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Jeff just liked one of Madison's photos. Yeah, he didn't only like it, he also commented a squid and piano emoji.
She shrugs.
Wonder what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go, because I have to be at work after.
They drive on a snow-covered road.
Seriously, though? A squid and piano? Like, what is that?
Could be a joke from debate.
Yeah, they're probably debating whether or not to bang right now. And look at his smile.
Okay, so he's smiling. So what?
In a picture with another girl. He's gonna break up with me.
Ah, so he would have to be the dumbest human being on Earth to do that. Like, dumber than the people who blow on ice cream before they eat it. He's not gonna break up with you, I swear.
She stops at an intersection. A car crosses in front of them. Then the tow truck pulls up beside them. The driver is dressed in foil.
Check it out. Tinfoil woman in the flesh.
In the foil.
Tyler P. saw a NASA pin on the back of her truck. Proves it. She was the first woman on the space shuttle, but got booted.
No way. She's on the run for murdering a loan shark. Or she thinks she's a burrito and that the Earth is a giant microwave.
I think she's something cool.
Dee, she's wearing sandwich wrap.
So? Maybe she doesn't care what people think of her.
Well, she should.
Or maybe she cares what the important people in her life think, not people she has to chase.
The tow truck drives on.
I'm not chasing anyone. I'm in a relationship, so I care. I know that could be hard for you to understand.
Addie looks back to her phone. Dee looks hurt. Next, she pulls up in front of the pet store. They both stare ahead awkwardly.
Jeb's house is right around the corner, so I'm just gonna go.
She removes her seatbelt and gets out of the car.
That was what I wanted to show you, by the way.
Dee drives off. Addie turns and looks into the pet store window. She sees the baby pig. Just one, two, three, she walks away. Now, an aerial view of a train moving through a snowy wilderness. Inside the train, Julie enters a passenger car and heads down the aisle. She bumps into someone coming in the opposite direction. She picks up a dropped cell phone and turns around.
Excuse me.
It is Stuart Bale. Julie looks stunned.
Look, I'm not right now, okay? I'm really trying to stay low-key, so...
You dropped this.
Stuart looks embarrassed. He takes the phone from her.
I'm so sorry.
But even if I was into your music, I'm not the type to throw myself at someone just because they're famous.
The train suddenly stops, throwing Julie into Stuart's arms.
That was the train.
She turns and walks away. She takes a window seat next to a woman. The woman looks stunned. She turns to Julie.
Oh my God, was that Stuart Bale?
I really don't care.
Oh yeah, yeah, neither do I. I just have a friend who'd like to do bad things to him.
Julie looks away. Now at home, Tobin looks at himself shirtless in a mirror. He flexes an arm muscle. He looks down at his chest and sees a single long hair near a nipple. He pulls on it. He picks up an electric razor and brings it to his chest. The record store girl enters. Tobin covers his nipples with his hands.
Hey, what's up?
I'm up, thanks. I'm good. Yeah, I'm up good.
Okay. See you downstairs when you found a bra.
As soon as she leaves, he checks his chest for any damage. Next, fully clothed, he joins her downstairs on a couch.
So, about today. Do we want to watch movies the entire time, or?
I was thinking the same thing. I'm totally up for change. You know, speaking of which...
Your chest is bleeding.
He looks down. There is a blood spot on his t-shirt.
Oh. Yeah, I was doing push-ups over glass.
You were doing push-ups?
Mm-hmm.
Over broken glass?
Yep. It motivates me. You don't know everything about me.
I kind of do.
Tobin gets up and goes into the next room.
So...
He returns with a dishcloth.
Do you remember J.P. LaPierre?
Tobin blots his shirt with the cloth.
Soccer captain from the grade above us?
Yeah. Anyway, he's home, and he invited us to his college friend's party today.
Us?
Well, I mean, he invited me, but would you want to go?
With you and J.P. LaPierre?
I don't know. I think it could be fun, but, like, if you're down, if you're not down, if you don't want to go, that's fine, but I...
No. You know, if you want to go, then...
Really appreciate the buddy.
Totally. I am that.
She looks at his chest.
Seriously, I'm getting a Band-Aid for your boob.
Next, they open a garage door.
So, is Carla okay to drive us?
Oh, she's talked about nothing else.
They stand facing the front end of an old green station wagon.
Did she get a little work done?
On the deal, she got new brake pads, her hood ornament's been straightened, her side panel's buffed.
Tastefully done. Mm. You can hardly tell.
She sees the figurine of the humping reindeer on the dashboard.
Very festive.
Now, on the train, Julie and her seatmate.
Oh, snow on the tracks. Conductor says we'll be here at least an hour. He also called me sir, which answers my concerns about this shirt.
Julie looks out the opposite window.
This is ridiculous. I live just over that hill.
As she gets up, Stuart walks down the aisle. She follows him.
Just so you know, I'm not stalking you. I'm going home.
I'm just going to that restaurant, so...
I'll call TMZ.
They open the door between cars. Julie jumps out and lands in the deep snow. She starts walking. Instead of continuing to the dining car, Stuart watches Julie go.
Hey!
He jumps out and catches up with her.
What are you even doing on a train?
Well, I wanted to take a break from the tour bus. Feels good to be in the real world for a few hours.
You know, if the train made you feel real, Waffle Town is gonna blow your mind.
They trudge on towards the building in the distance. Next, the Waffle Town kitchen. The DJ arrives and takes off his headphones. He joins Dee and a boy wearing a name tag, Billy.
Oh, you didn't hear? The universe is against me.
It's not possible, dude. The universe is not some wicked lady. The universe is one infinite hug.
First, my party gets shut down by my parents, and then he calls me because Janet...
She's going through a really rough time right now.
Dirty ass Janet. Has her car stuck in the driveway? Snowed in? That's so...
Selfish.
Thank you.
He looks down at his phone.
I really need to have this party. Wait, Addie's mom's away.
Addie's mom's always away.
Yeah. We can have it at her place. Call her.
Okay, first, chill. Second, no. Addie is preoccupied.
Addie, outside Jed's house.
What do you mean? Where is he?
He got picked up.
Picked up by who?
I don't know. He told my mom he was going to the Waffle Town.
Was he picked up by a girl?
A bunch of people. But yeah, our girl was driving.
I knew it.
Now, Julie and Stuart.
Say it to yourself. Out loud.
He reads a sign.
Awful Town.
The W is missing.
Awful Town. If you're a fan of coffee, do not order one here.
Then maybe we should grab a waffle.
What? Why?
I mean, it would be terrible if I got photographed in an awful town alone.
Listen, no offense. Just don't like this place.
All right, look. I called my car already. You have a heart out.
She looks at him.
One waffle.
Next, inside, Billy emerges from the kitchen, carrying a plate. He sees Julie and Stuart.
Holy shit.
Stuart, this is Billy.
Hi. What's up? I was hoping for some breakfast.
Billy offers Stuart the plate of food that he was about to deliver. Later, Stuart and Julie sit in a booth, eating.
Wow. You, really gonna eat all that?
Oh, yeah, I don't waste any food.
Like, ever?
Ever.
What if you're eating something and it falls on the floor?
Then I feed it to my dog.
What if your dog isn't around?
And I locate a dog.
What if you're on a dog-free island? You're doing a concert on a dog-free island somewhere.
I'm sure the island has other animals that eat food that falls on the floor.
Damn it. You're probably right. So, why don't you ever waste food?
Hunger is, it's a thing for me, you know? A cause.
Why?
You know, I'm a pretty important person, so I like to do a lot of important charity work.
He grins.
Come on.
I don't know. I guess we didn't really grow up with a whole lot.
Six teenaged girls wearing identical jackets enter Waffle Town. Behind the counter, the DJ stares at them. The girls head towards a booth. Billy comes out of the kitchen.
Maybe the universe isn't against me. Maybe it's telling me to have my party here.
The universe always has the answer, Keon. You just have to subscribe to her newsletter.
Keon looks at him.
Well, does that mean I can have my party here?
Aren't you glad I called you in today?
Dude, yeah! Yes, thank you!
Okay, look, you're gonna have to clean up tomorrow, you're gonna have to play some good music, and you're gonna have to give me a ride home because I bicycled here this morning and it was real slip-slidey out there.
Done. Okay. Thank you!
Dee comes out from behind the counter. She sees the group of girls.
Keon.
Huh?
She points to one of the girls.
That girl and I kind of had like a thing.
You hooked up?
Yeah, but I don't know, it was more than that. Like, have you ever been with someone and you stay up until like 4 a.m. just talking about everything? Like how you're both super scared of getting old and what it felt like the first time you saw the Goblet of Fire and you're just like, I can't believe I get to exist at the same time as you.
No, but like, I'm really happy for you.
I really, really liked her. The way she would like to talk super fast when she got excited. It was really cute.
The girl who has long dark hair laughs with her friends, Dee.
I'm gonna do it. I'm going over there.
You should play it cool, though. Like, you know how to play it cool.
I can play it cool. Wait, how do you play it cool?
You just go over there.
Uh-huh.
And then you ask her if her and her friends will stay for the party.
Okay.
You got this.
Keon goes back into the kitchen. Dee takes a deep breath, then approaches the booth.
Hey. How are you? What are you doing here?
Hi.
It's so crazy. I was actually just thinking about you this morning when I was in the shower. Oh, no, not like that, not like a weird... No, because I have one of those soaps that has a little toy in the center. It's not, I mean, I'm not like a toddler or anything. It's just one of those, like, let's bring back the 90s type things. Anyway, I got the toy out, finally, this morning, and it was a horse. And I remember you said... Horses are just basically big dogs. So, I thought of you.
Okay, whatever. Can we, like, order now?
Dee looks confused. The girl avoids eye contact as the others consult the menu.
I'm sorry. We'll get a couple orders of bacon, like maybe like 4 or 5.
Now, Tobin and his friend arrive at the college party. They park the station wagon in a snow-covered lot and head towards a large building. They pass by groups of people milling about outside and enter the building. Inside is a hockey rink. The girl's friend JP runs off the rink to greet them.
Angie, you made it.
Hey.
He gives her a hug.
This is my friend, Tobin.
I know Tobin.
You do?
Of course, man. You sat behind me in physics. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know that. I just didn't think that you'd know that.
Come on, man. Bring it.
JP hugs him.
So you guys play broom ball?
Love broom ball.
All right, sweet. You're on my team. Come on, man.
As they walk onto the ice, Angie to Tobin.
You love broomball? I've never heard you once mention broomball.
Because I don't like talking about broomball. I love playing broomball. I'm nice on the ice, which is a phrase other people have used to describe me and how good I am at broomball.
Okay, because you usually never like to play sports.
Broomball is not a sport. It's a leisurely holiday pastime. Besides, who are we playing, the broomball Olympians?
Yo, JP!
They see two big guys.
Holy shit.
We came to play.
You guys ready or what?
The Reston brothers? This is their party? I thought they went to jail.
No, I think the witness had a change of heart.
The brothers, identical twins, approach them.
Hey, man. So you roll up in your pussy wagon.
It's clever.
The twins drop their smiles. Tobin swallows. Now, the broomball game. Hockey played with broomsticks and a large rubber ball. JP shoots the ball to Angie. Angie passes to Tobin, and immediately one of the twins checks him, sending him sliding into the boards. JP helps him up.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm all good.
You gotta try and stay vertical, my man. Oh, get you back out there, all right? Come on.
The game continues. The Reston brothers advance, passing the ball between them. Tobin tries to block the net, but the brothers plow right into him, knocking him down to the ice. JP comes over to check on him.
Right?
Tobin gets to his feet. Angie looks at him, concerned. Next, Angie passes the ball to Tobin. He heads towards the goal on a breakaway.
There you go.
Shoot!
Just as he winds up to shoot, the Reston brothers slam into him from the side. Tobin goes flying and lands hard on the ice. He rolls over onto his back and stares at the ceiling. Now at Waffle Town, one of the girls looks over towards Stuart and Julie. Stuart hides behind a menu. Julie.
What are you doing right now?
Nothing, I'm just...
They see me, but, you know, you don't need to...
Julie turns around and sees the group of six girls. They are all looking in her direction and whispering. She turns back to face Stuart.
Ah, shit. It's happening. I'm sorry.
Men's bathroom window. Go.
As the girls approach, Stuart quickly walks towards the bathroom. Julie jumps up and blocks the girls.
Hey, what's up, Stuart Bale?
Yeah. Stuart Bale is eating at the Waffle Town. And Lady Gaga is just buying tampons at the Gas and Go. So. No, that was my step-cousin, Bryant. And his name is Bryant.
Oh, really? Then why did he just run off to the bathroom?
Well, why would you run to the bathroom?
The girls look puzzled. Later, outside, Julie meets Stuart as he climbs out of the window.
I'm sure there's a way to do this and still look cool. Oh.
He falls onto a pile of snow.
Nailed it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the help.
Anytime. Okay, I'm gonna go now.
They walk across the parking lot.
Look, it was really nice and totally bizarre and random to meet you, but I gotta go. I have a lot to do.
Like what?
Like, meet my mom. Don't worry about it.
I mean, I'm not worried. I'm just...
Look, I have a lot to do. I have things to do.
Like what? Tell me.
I have to make a decision that impacts the entire rest of my life, okay?
They stop. He looks at her expectantly.
I got into Columbia, in New York. Also, my mom is sick. And we don't know which way it's gonna go, so I have to stay and I have to take care of her because this might be the last year I have with her. And I asked for a deferral, but they said I'd lose my scholarship. Sorry for the massive download. I just haven't actually said that to anyone. Anyways, Merry Christmas. I gotta go.
She turns and walks off.
Wait, where are you heading?
I told you, I'm meeting my mom at a winter holiday pageant.
Sounds fun.
Now, Addie sits at a deserted bus stop.
Hey, this is Jeff. You know what to do after the beep.
She looks at her phone sadly. She opens up the Uber app. It indicates that there are no cars in the area. Addie looks despondent. Then she notices the tow truck approaching. She runs out into the snowy street and flags it down.
Hey!
The truck stops. Inside, the tinfoil woman rolls down the passenger window.
Yeah, can I help you?
Yes, please. I'm like stranded in the snow. Can you please give me a ride to the Waffle Town?
Sure. Yeah, it's snowing. There's no buses running. Yeah, get in.
Thank you.
Addie gets into the truck. She looks relieved.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
What?
You don't go getting into people's cars you don't know.
Relax, I have my phone.
Well, what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Like, if someone were to hurt me, I could call 911.
Well, what if they took your phone?
Well, if the phone was still in the car, it's pinging off the cell towers and tracking where I am.
Oh, well, what good is that if you're murdered?
Well, hopefully that knowledge can be a deterrent to the murderer.
Okay.
They drive.
What were you doing out there all by yourself anyway?
My best friend left me.
Sounds like a great best friend.
Wait, she didn't leave me. I was in a situation she didn't understand. My boyfriend's being weird. He's not answering any of my texts.
The tinfoil woman rolls her eyes.
He knows where I am, though.
Oh, my God. Now you're scared? You have terrible instincts. Has anyone ever told you that? It's because you're relying on that thing instead of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now, Stuart and Julie walk on a deserted road through a wooded area.
156-piece elf village.
Some people's moms, they knit stockings. Mine collects elves and their communities. So what are your plans for the holidays?
I'll just be at the hotel.
Christmas in a hotel?
I'm used to it. I travel a lot.
Do you like it?
Honestly, I really would love to be in one place, just for a little while.
Well, maybe we just, we switch. Singing and dancing can't be that hard.
Okay. I'll send you my set list. So why your mom like Christmas so much?
I think, you know, it's because my dad, he left in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And now my mom kind of wants Christmas to be amazing and spectacular and for me.
That's sweet.
Kind of, I guess.
They stop and look down at a view of a snow-covered field and forest.
This place is beautiful. It's like the perfect holiday card.
Snow hides a lot. It's like the Spanx of weather.
Stuart chuckles.
So where did you grow up? Guessing most people already know that about you.
They look out at the view.
I grew up in Atlanta. I grew up more of a loner, but I had music, so it was cool. But my dad didn't really like it. He was real strict. I mean, even now, he doesn't think music is a real job.
Have you told him it is?
The point is, you can do a lot worse than this place, trust me.
Yeah, well, I guess I have the next several years to find out.
Now, at the Waffle Town, Keon is on the phone with Tobin.
The Reston brothers? I thought they were in prison.
Well, apparently not.
Dude, get away from them.
I can't, man. It's their party, and we're here so the Duke can hang out with J.P. LaFleur.
Keon looks at his phone and shakes his head.
Hello?
That was a moment of silence for your hopes of ever being with the Duke.
Thanks, man. That helps. Especially since he just finished telling us about his semester in Kenya, building schools and stuff.
Dude, if she's hooking up with J.P. LaPierre...
They're not hooking up.
He looks over at Angie with J.P.
Yep. I can't leave here, man.
You have to. I'm having my party at the Awful Town. I need you to bring beer.
I have dancers here, okay? You get here, we'll have a drink.
A beer keg.
Okay, I think I have a plan.
Thank you. You see...
Tobin hangs up. J.P. and Angie approach.
I just want to apologize for them. It wasn't cool.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
No. You can be reasonable and calm about it, but I'm not. It's not okay what they did to you.
You know, she's right, T. Bottle up all that emotion. It turns into anxiety. Recently, I started doing this Qigong meditation. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard of meditation.
Anyway, it's this type of mind-body exercise. Really great for martial arts training. I think you'd be really good at it, man.
Thanks, man. So what do you say we get out of here, huh?
Yeah, I'm down.
Same.
Cool. And we're taking their keg.
Next, JP and Tobin load the keg into the back of the station wagon. The three of them get into the car.
Come on, buddy.
Tobin drives, maneuvering in the snow as quickly as he can. The Reston twins chase them and pound on the back window.
The car, man!
It's dead!
Hit it!
Go! Woo!
The twins jump into their car and make chase. Tobin drives as fast as he can on the snowy road.
All right!
The twins' powerful challenger is in fast pursuit.
Come on, T-Bird!
I'm flying!
The road becomes a steep uphill climb.
Why are we slowing down?
Tobin stomps on the gas. The car's wheels spin.
No.
The station wagon starts to roll backwards.
Wait.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, God.
The car stalls. Tobin tries to restart the engine.
Incoming!
The twins' car is getting closer.
Come on, Carla. Don't be a little bitch.
Yeah, Carla. Work that ass like I know you can.
Guys, I know it's a car, but I'm also a feminist, so...
Angie and Tobin look at each other. Then they are struck from behind.
Come on, man!
Come on. Tobin manages to start the car. They head up the hill, followed closely by the twins.
Come on, let's go.
Tobin makes a right-hand turn. The twins accelerate. They take the turn too sharply and drive into a snowbank. Inside the station wagon, they cheer and high-five.
There it goes!
Tobin returns to the main road, the car fishtailing from side to side.
Yes, Carla! Woo! That was insane!
Seriously, T-Rex, you're a hero, man. Wow, some action hero shit. The way we were sliding and drifting.
A tire suddenly blows out. The car spins out of control.
Press the brake, press the brake!
I'm trying to press the brake. I am pressing the brake.
Stop!
No. They slide into a snow-filled ditch.
We're in a ditch.
JP.
Everyone all right?
From the back seat, JP leans forward between them. He looks at Tobin, then moves close to tell him something.
Dude, I think your nipple's bleeding.
Tobin looks down and sees a blood spot on his shirt. JP leans back. Angie looks at Tobin sympathetically. Now, at the Waffle Town, Dee looks distraught. She wipes her forehead. She watches the dark-haired girl leave her booth and head for the bathroom. Dee takes a deep breath and follows her. She looks nervous as she enters the ladies' room.
Hey, I just want to say, I don't really know what that was back there, but...
The girl grabs her and kisses her. Dee kisses her back enthusiastically. They stand in the ladies' room making out. They separate. The girl looks at Dee.
I have not stopped thinking about you.
Before Dee can respond, another one of the dancers enters. The dark-haired girl leaves. Dee smiles to herself. Now, Julie and Stuart come upon a sledding hill.
I want to go sledding.
What? Now?
Yeah.
You don't have a sled.
Young moms. It's my sweet spot.
Stuart approaches the families.
Hey. Hi. Yeah, you guys mind if I borrow your sled? Hi, I'm Stuart. Nice to meet you.
Julie watches from a distance. She looks impressed. Stuart takes a selfie with all the moms.
All right. Very nice to meet you. Oh, bring this back, okay? Got us a loner.
He drags a toboggan over to Julie. Julie sits in front and Stuart tucks in behind her. He puts his arms around her waist.
That okay?
Yep.
Julie holds onto the rope. Stuart starts to push off.
Wait.
Julie looks nervous.
Look, anything can happen. Good. Bad. Anything.
Okay. Let's go.
Let's go.
Stuart pushes them forward and they slide down the hill at full speed. Julie is laughing all the way down. Stuart smiles broadly. They continue the ride down the long, gentle slope of the hill, smiling and laughing as they go. Stuart's face changes to concern. There is a bump in the hill ahead. They hit the bump head on. Stuart gets knocked off of the toboggan. Julie continues sliding. She tries to control the speeding sled. She veers off the path and heads towards some trees. She hits another bump and gets thrown off into the snow. She gets to her feet to find that she is on a road. The twins' Challenger is headed right for her. Stuart barrels into her, shoving her out of their path just in time. They both land on their backs. They turn their heads and look at each other. Then Julie starts to laugh. At the Waffle Town, Dee pours herself a cup of coffee. Keon approaches her. She smiles.
So I'm guessing it went well. And did she say they're gonna stay for the party?
Well, there wasn't a lot of dialogue. But yeah, I think they're staying.
Okay, great, 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 great. So, body count. 6 dancers, if they stay, plus Jeb and company, and then Tobin.
Wait, Jeb's here?
Jeb sits with Madison and 3 others.
Is that too little? Is that weird? Do you think that's weird?
What?
Now, Addie and the tinfoil woman.
Does this thing go any faster?
It's a tow truck in a snowstorm. No, it does not.
Addie focuses on her phone.
The answer is not in there. It's like you're standing on a whale fishing for minnows.
What? That's a weird metaphor.
You know what? Hey, you look around at the actual world.
You don't know what I need. And if you don't give me my phone back, I'm gonna call the police.
Oh yeah, really? With what?
Uh-oh. Okay. All right, how would you feel if I just took your tinfoil
hat? Hey!
She stops Addie from grabbing her hat.
I don't know why you wear that thing, but I'm pretty sure you're attached. There are theories, you know. About you, your hat, your past. NASCAR driver, ex-cop.
The woman shrugs.
Baked potato.
Well, what does your magic phone say is the correct one?
What is it with old people and phones? Do you know all the things I could do with that phone? Do you know that I could read a book, write an essay, learn Spanish, track my steps? Absorb the fact that Jeb has literally never liked any picture I've posted of us, and that he's going to break up with me on Christmas and start dating Madison, who he's currently with at the Waffle Town, which I know thanks to Bahar Rizwell's Snapchat. Can you do all of that with your magic hat? That's what I thought.
Addie lunges for her phone. The woman holds it out the window.
Hey, Missy!
As they head across an overpass, she throws the phone away. A car on the road below drives over it.
No!
Addie sits quietly, her head bowed.
I'm sorry about that.
Now, Tobin stands next to his disabled car, making a phone call. A short distance away, Angie is standing with JP.
Why does everybody call you the Duke?
Oh, it's Tobin's fault.
Why is that?
Growing up, I was always one of the boys. Tobin thought I should be distinguished for that.
He's an original. I'll give him that. He must do pretty well with the ladies.
Tobin? No. No, not really.
Well, I think when he gets to college, that's gonna change.
Tobin approaches them.
Sorry about that. Tow truck's on its way.
The 3 of them stand, staring at the car.
I don't think she suffered.
She died doing what she loved. Getting really low gas mileage.
JP looks down the road.
Shit, guys, it's the twins. Come on. Get down, get down. Get down.
They hide behind the car. The twins' car races past them.
Let's get off the road.
Tobin notices that JP takes Angie's hand. The 3 of them cross the road and run towards a large stone church nearby. Inside, they take off their jackets.
Can't believe I'm hiding out in a church.
Wow, look at this thing.
A massive pipe organ.
Oh my God, Tobin, play something.
No way, man. Play?
Yeah, he's so good.
Tope, play Hole of the Moon.
As Tobin sits at the keyboard, Angie comes over and stands next to him, leaning on the organ. They sing together.
I pictured a rainbow. You held it in your...
I had flashes, but you saw the plan.
I wandered out in the world for years. While you just stayed in your room, I saw the crescent. You saw the whole of the moon. The whole of the moon.
She sits next to him.
You were there in the turnstiles with the wind at your heels. You stretched for the stars
and you know how it feels to reach too high, too far, too soon. You saw the whole of the moon
and spoke about wings.
They look at each other as they sing.
You just flew. I wondered, I guessed, and I tried.
You just knew I sighed.
JP smiles, watching them.
But you swooned, I saw the crescent. You saw the whole of the moon. The whole of the moon.
She gets up and stands next to the organ.
Unicorns and cannonballs, palaces and piers, trumpets, towers, tenements, wide oceans full of tears, flags, rags, ferry boats, scimitars and stars.
JP comes over and starts dancing with Angie.
Underneath the stars, yes, you climbed on a ladder. With the wind in your sails, you came like a comet, blazing.
Tobin stops playing.
Tobin, should we play Sound of Vision?
No, I'm all good.
Oh, come on, man.
What?
More.
No, I think I'm gonna go check on Carla. You know, the guys are probably gone by now.
Wait, wait, we can all go.
I'm gonna go alone.
Tobin heads for the door. Angie looks concerned.
Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
She chases after him.
Hey!
What?
What do you mean, what? You're being weird. Leaving suddenly and...
How is that weird?
Tobin.
Angie.
Why are you calling me Angie?
Well, isn't that what you like to be called? God, since when did you get so sensitive?
Okay, are you mad about JP?
Why would I be mad about JP?
She looks at him curiously.
Are you jealous?
Yeah, Angie. I'm jealous of JP. I'm jealous of the enlightened, broomball-playing, meditating college boy.
Angie looks at him. She shakes her head.
Fine. Be that way.
She turns and walks back into the church. Tobin looks sad. He opens the front door and realizes he has forgotten his jacket.
Oh, shit.
A reverend approaches him.
You a wise man?
She is holding a heavy coat.
Are you one of our three wise men?
Yes, I'm a wise man.
Great.
She hands him the costume and leaves. He puts on the coat and heads outside. Now, at the Waffle Town, Dee carries a drink and a plate containing a sphere-shaped waffle. She delivers them to the dancer girls.
We didn't order that.
Oh, I know. It's
also, what is that?
I call it a quaffle waffle. Best enjoyed with a tall glass of butterbeer.
What?
It's from Harry Potter.
Isn't that, like, for children?
I'm pretty sure it's universally beloved.
She looks at the dark-haired girl, who will not make eye contact with her.
Also, I'm supposed to tell you guys that there's going to be a party here later, so you should stay.
She picks up the food and drink and heads back to the counter.
Can I get another iced tea?
Dee puts the order down on the counter in front of Keon. She sits on a stool and leans her head in her hands.
Are they leaving? Because Tempest just texted me and he said he's going to roll through.
This is so messed up.
Outside the church, Julie and Stuart.
Thanks again for walking me here.
It's nothing.
People are filing into the church.
I didn't tell my mom about Columbia, so when you meet her, just don't mention anything.
Why didn't you tell your mom you got in?
Because I don't really want her to worry and also try to convince me to go.
A woman approaches.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey.
She hands Julie a bag.
Here are the clothes you asked for.
Thank you.
Why'd you need Grandpa's?
She sees Stuart.
Oh.
She smiles at him.
Mom, this is Stuart.
Hi.
Hey.
Are you at school with Julie?
Stuart looks amused.
No.
Inside the church.
Are you kidding me? You met him on a train. He could be a...
He's not.
I don't mean to interrupt. I just like to say, you know, I'm pretty responsible.
You know, you look like that singer. He smiles like he's holding in a fart, you know?
She poses with a phony-looking smile.
Mom.
Julie's mother looks at Julie, then at Stuart, then back at Julie. Her smile fades.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I'm sorry.
I'll let my publicist know that one.
It's not all the time, you know? Only from certain angles.
Okay, Stuart, here are some new clothes. Mom, you should sit. I'm gonna go change.
She gives Stuart the bag and walks down the aisle, a look of embarrassment on her face. Stuart follows her. In the Waffle Town, Dee stops in her tracks when she sees Addie enter. Addie spots Jed and marches over to his booth. Sitting next to Jed, Madison looks uncomfortable.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, babe, thought we were gonna meet up later.
Why? Did you not want me to know you were here?
No, I, you know, just thought...
What, you just happened not to mention that you were coming here? That's why you didn't answer any of my texts?
Madison rolls her eyes. Addie.
Are you rolling your eyes at me?
No.
Psycho. What did you say?
I called you a psycho.
The dancers.
She did not just call that girl a psycho.
She legit just called her a psycho.
Girl!
They all sip their drinks and watch.
Got it.
Addie to Madison.
Because as captain of the debate team, I know words are super important to you. So technically, if I were a psycho, I'd probably do this.
She picks up a milkshake and dumps it on Madison's head.
Did that just happen? She did.
Oh my goodness! What is wrong with you?
Addie.
Jeb?
No, I'm not going with you.
Excuse me?
I am just hanging out with my friends. Okay, I don't have to see you every second of every day. It's so annoying.
Addie turns and storms out of the restaurant. Madison.
Seriously?
Outside, Addie marches across the parking lot. Dee chases after her.
Are you okay?
Addie stops.
I mean, is he serious? I'm annoying? What the hell? And he's staying in there with her? Seriously?
Come on, that was a little over the top. You can't just...
Over the top? Whose side are you on?
I'm not on a side. I just... It's like you're so lost in your own drama. You don't even realize the things you say and do... impact other people.
Do you know the day I've had? And now Jeb?
Stop it. Stop pretending this whole thing is about Jeb.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about your insane need for attention from people who don't seem to give a shit about you. If Jeb breaks up with you, you'll just find someone else to chase after and freak out about, and I'll still be here. Same as always, waiting to do this all over again, just hoping you finally figure out how to stop caring about people that don't care about you.
Addie turns and walks away from her. Dee goes back inside the Waffle Town. Now, inside the church, a performance by people in costumes representing different religions.
In our town. Frankincense and myrrh, from solstice to Kwanzaa, so much to offer.
From lighting the dia to Jesus' birth, we're gathered to celebrate a life on earth.
Julie and Stuart sit with Julie's mother.
Traveled across Westeros.
Welcome.
Julie to Stuart.
This is the best part. The wise men present the baby Jesus to the goddess Lakshmi, then everyone lights the menorah.
This is one of the best, most insane things I think I've ever seen.
One of the costumes in the pageant is a two-person Chinese lion. It trots around on stage, amusing Stuart and Julie. Julie's mother smiles. Later, Julie, her mother, and Stuart arrive at a house.
Pops, this is Stuart. He's going to be joining us for dinner.
Why is he wearing my clothes?
We went sledding, and he got wet.
What kind of a person goes sledding in improper attire?
Stuart waves.
I do, sir. It was my idea.
So you're spending time with my granddaughter, and you have bad ideas.
Stuart, would you want to help me in the kitchen?
Now that is a great idea. I'm gonna...
Julie, he's not keeping no slacks.
Break it to him gently.
Now, Tobin sits at the wheel of his station wagon, which is still stuck in the snowdrift. The view zooms in closer, revealing that he is asleep. Meanwhile, inside the now-deserted church, JP and Angie sit together, chatting. At the Waffle Town, Dee sits at the counter, looking despondent.
It's okay to have scars. They will make you who you are.
It's okay to have fear.
Eddie walks slowly down a snowy road.
And in the middle of the night, call if you wanna talk, cause you know that I wanna talk.
The tow truck approaches from behind her.
It's not bad of you to think.
Addie runs to the side of the road. She loses her footing and falls down an embankment near a U-turn. She lands on her back.
It's okay that I pray that you will miss your...
The tow truck rolls up next to her, an upside-down view of the tinfoil woman.
Hey, are you okay?
Addie gets up.
What the... What? I drove around. I saw you fall.
Are you, like, stalking me?
No.
Don't you have somewhere else to be on Christmas Eve?
Don't you?
No. Guess not.
She looks sad.
Everyone hates me. My best friend, my boyfriend, even my own mother doesn't want to spend Christmas with me.
Wow. That's... I'm sorry, that's painful.
And you go and lose my phone.
So now you basically have nothing.
Addie bows her head.
Well, you know what? That is actually a really good time to look around and see what you really want. Like, if you could have anything for Christmas, what would it be?
Addie looks thoughtful. She nods.
I want my best friend back.
Okay. You all right?
Yeah. Will you explain the whole tinfoil
thing? No, I'm not doing that.
It's worth a try.
Addie gets into the truck. Now, at Julie's house, her grandfather, mother, and Stuart stand around a large table, looking at a miniature elf village.
There's a candy store in the woods.
So?
It flouts basic urban planning conventions.
Julie joins them.
I'm with Pops. It's weird.
Hold on, I personally love it. Hmm. You know what you can call it? If a treat falls in the woods.
That's amazing.
Right? Yeah.
Am I missing something here? I Googled you. You grab your crotch a lot. No, I'm just saying, you know, why is music today all about the crotch?
Oh, come on, Dad. You like Mick Jagger. And he wore pants so tight, you could see everything.
No, I liked him for his blues influence, not for his...
Let's not say that out loud.
Exile on Main Street is the finest album ever made.
He touches his phone.
Where are the settings?
You just took a selfie.
Exile on Main Street, it's a great album. But I think you'll find it's Goat's Head Soup. 1973.
Stuart plays the music on his phone.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's right.
Huh. Now, Jagger, he could dance.
Oh, Jagger was the master.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart imitates Mick Jagger's moves.
Wait. What's that supposed to be?
No.
You gotta stick your chin out.
Julie's grandfather joins him.
Oh, my God. Is this actually happening?
The two men strut into the living room. Julie's grandfather takes her mother's hand and she joins them.
Mom, take it easy.
Julie smiles, watching the others. Stuart comes over to her and offers his arm. She takes it, and the four of them dance together in the living room.
Sometimes wise not to grow up. When I walk through the wood the other day, can't you see the fun in my forehead? What tender days we had, those secrets away.
Spins Julie around as he dances with her. All four of them are laughing as the dance party continues. It is now dark outside. A view through the living room windows of the four of them laughing and dancing. Stuart picks up Julie and twirls her playfully. Next, Julie's grandfather helps her mother sit down.
Mom, I'm fine.
Okay, there you go. Just breathe. Just breathe, okay?
Julie looks worried. She looks over at Stuart. Later, Stuart sits on a window seat in a bedroom. He leans on his knees, holding a stuffed bunny. Julie enters.
Hey.
Hey.
Julie shuts the door.
Sorry about that. With my mom.
You don't need to be sorry. I'm sorry if me being here made it worse.
No, don't worry about that. You didn't. It's just, this is a cycle, you know. She says she's fine, she's not, and then I worry. Anyway, she's doing better. She's laying down.
Good.
But you can understand why.
She sits on the bed.
I need to stay.
I understand how that could be difficult.
Yeah.
Julie nods. She stares straight ahead.
I think you should let me help you.
She looks at him.
What do you mean?
I see how going off to college could be hard, you know, but I see other things too, Julie. I see that you're smart. I see that you're aching to get out of this town. So, I mean, I could get you a nurse, help with your mom.
Like, what? I'm a charity case?
No, that's not what I said.
No, but it's what you meant.
No, it's not.
I mean, you said it yourself. You're this famous, important guy. With all your charities.
I was joking. That was a whole
My town doesn't exist just for you to come and prance through it.
Prance?
Yeah, like it's some sort of zoo or something.
I'm not prancing through a zoo.
No, but you can just leave your tour bus and be a part of the real world, huh?
I would appreciate you not taking my words out of context anymore.
Okay, so what is this then?
She stands up.
Today, all of this, what are you doing here?
I was having fun.
Fun?
Less now.
Julie turns around so that her back is to Stuart. He stands up and approaches her.
Look, I understand things are difficult.
Do you?
She faces him.
I don't know if you do, Mr. Christmas in a Hotel. I think that things come pretty easy for you. I think you just let things roll right off your back.
Well, they don't. You know why? Because I'm a person. But people feel like they can say whatever they want to me. I get it, I'm a fantasy or a joke or whatever, but I have feelings. I haven't even felt happy in a while, you know? But I felt good this afternoon. I felt good being with you. I didn't question it, I just took it. Life offered it and I took it. Why do you think somebody's by themselves on Christmas?
Because they're promoting an album.
Or because they don't have anywhere else to go. Or maybe they don't have a family to celebrate it with. Maybe that staying in the hotel part is just the best option. I might have left my life for a couple hours, but not to prance through a zoo.
because I wanted to spend more time with you. I really didn't mean for that to rhyme.
I didn't mean to say you prance.
He moves in closer and they almost kiss. She jumps back.
I should go get that.
She runs out of the room. Next, Julie opens the front door to a woman.
Hi, I'm Kira. I work with Stuart.
Stuart comes downstairs.
Oh my God, please, next time get lost somewhere with a Starbucks. What the F are you wearing? Please tell me nobody got a picture of him in that.
Julie and Stuart look at each other.
No.
Kira turns to Julie.
Do you have any hands, Sammy?
Now at the Waffle Town, Keon addresses the small crowd from behind the counter.
Hey guys, just so you guys know, a quick update on what's going on. I have alcohol on the way. So don't go anywhere. It'll be here in a few ticks, and we'll get this party really popping.
He picks up his phone and sends a text to Tobin. Where are you? We need booze. Billy approaches the counter.
Billy, I need some fuel, man. I need some party fuel.
Well, I would love to help you, Keon, but I am not allowed at the liquor store anymore. The owner will not serve me. I have tried using a disguise, and he always knows it's me. Anyway, look. You have to let go of your expectations, man.
Well, Tempest is gonna be here in an hour, and this party sucks, so.
I don't think you're hearing me, Keon. The universe will provide for you exactly what you need.
Next, Billy and Keon enter a storage room. They return with a box of assorted items, which they dump out onto the counter. The collection includes disposable cups, coffee filters, straws, and decorations.
Okay.
At Julie's house, Kira is busy on her phone.
Send done.
She looks out the window.
Oh, God, I hate snow. I mean, what even is it? Nobody knows, you know?
To Julie.
Okay, listen, I'm gonna send you an NDA, which is like a promise to Stuart that you won't post anything, any pictures, any stories, anything about today.
I wouldn't do that to him. We're friends.
Oh, sweetie, no. Don't get attached. He makes every girl fall in love with him. It happens all the time. That's why he's a star, right? It was just one day.
Stuart comes downstairs, now wearing his own clothes.
Oh, thank God. You're hot again. Let's go.
Kira goes to the front door.
Say your goodbyes.
Kira leaves. In the doorway, Stuart turns to Julie.
Look, she's my publicist, so she can be kind of...
It's fine.
Like, I meant everything I said up there.
Thank you. I'm glad we met.
Stuart hesitates.
Come with me.
What?
Come with me. I hung out in your world. Come hang out in mine.
I can't. How?
We can figure it out.
This was just a day. One day doesn't change anything for either of us. You go back on your tour bus and I stay in this town.
Stuart moves towards her and pulls her into a long embrace. They separate and stand looking at each other.
You should tell your mom that you got into Columbia.
Stuart turns and slowly walks towards Kira's waiting car. Julie stands in the open doorway, watching him go. She looks emotional. Now, the tow truck drives down the main street of town. Tinfoil woman pulls over to the curb and turns off the ignition. Addie turns to her.
You think you could wait for me?
I don't know. Hurry up. I just got a call from dispatch about a moron who got himself stuck in a snowbank.
Addie gets out of the truck. Tobin sits in his car, the glowing stained glass windows of the church in the background. He looks at the humping reindeer figurine on the dashboard. Angie knocks on his window. Tobin rolls down the window.
Hey, so I'm gonna go to this thing. This party. JP's friend's party.
Cool. I was waiting for the tow truck. And then I should probably deliver this keg. Have a great time. I wanted to say have fun and have a great time at the same.
I got it.
They look at each other for a moment, then Angie heads back to the church. Now, Julie lies on her bed wearing earbuds and staring at the ceiling.
Seem about 100 years ago. Mary and I, we would sit up on the gate, just gazing at some red line in the sky.
She looks over and sees her mother standing in the doorway. She takes off the earbuds and sits up.
Hey.
Her mother joins her on the bed.
You feeling okay?
I'm fine, honey. Are you?
You don't really need to worry about me.
Maybe I do. Maybe more than I have been. Sorry your friend had to go.
Julie shrugs.
He wasn't really my friend.
So, right.
Mom, I'm not going to college.
What? What are you talking about?
Who's gonna take care of you? Pops?
Yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. And who's gonna take care of him?
We will take care of each other.
That's not how it works. I'm not mad at you.
I'm not mad at you. You sound mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
Because it's okay if you are.
Okay, I'm mad. Look, I never want to feel it. I never want to say it, but I'm mad. I'm mad that you think that you're fine and then you're not. And then I'm mad that you think that this is just some perfect little elf village, but it's not. It's real life. And I got into Columbia.
Her mother's face breaks into a smile.
You got into Columbia?
She pulls Julie into a hug. Julie looks upset.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because I can't go.
Were you gonna check with me or just be in charge of the whole situation on your own?
The second one?
Listen to me. Things happen in life. Bad things. Sickness. Divorce. It's scary. And it's survival to retreat. But if you retreat, you also miss the good things. Do you understand? I know we don't talk about that stuff too much, but...
Mom, I can't leave you. What if...
Your life is to be lived. Not put into a neat container to try and control. It's not possible. Trust me.
Julie looks at her tearfully.
And I'm sorry if I haven't been clear enough about this, but I want to now. When life offers you something special, you take it.
Tears roll down Julie's face. Her mother moves closer and puts her arm around her. They sit, watching the snow fall outside the window.
I wanted to get you that elf. Just to make your Christmas.
Oh, sweetie. You did make my Christmas.
Now, outside the church, Tobin's car has been freed by the tow truck. Tinfoil Woman stands with him, pointing to the road.
Okay, so the road is that white thing between the mailboxes. He hit a ditch or... a living room. You're doing it wrong. Got that?
Got it.
So, Merry Christmas!
Thank you. You too.
Tobin goes to his car while she heads to the truck.
Hey.
She stops and looks at him.
Why do you wear the...
No! No.
At the Waffle Town, the party has begun with Keon as DJ. The restaurant is adorned in decorations made from cups and straws. Addie enters, carrying the piglet from the pet store. She glances over at Jed and his friends, then she approaches Dee.
Merry Christmas, Dee.
You got me the pig?
Dee pets the little pig.
It's an apology pig. Dee, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, too. I shouldn't have said that thing about you needing attention. Or I should have said it more gently. I was frustrated and sad and embarrassed about stuff.
She looks over at the dark-haired girl who is talking to her friends, Addie.
Dory, I'm gonna need you to look at me and listen to what I'm about to tell you, okay? I don't know what's going on, but I do know this. You are 1,000% flawless. Like, there is literally nothing wrong with you. You are an incredible friend. You make me laugh when I'm freaked out. Even when I'm being a complete dick, you're still there for me. You are the coolest, most badass human being on this planet. Okay, if you and Beyonce were trapped in a house that was on fire and I could only save one of you, I would let Beyonce die.
Addie looks over at the other girl.
And if somebody doesn't see that, that's not your problem, because you deserve to be with someone who wants to shout from the rooftops how great you are.
Addie smiles. Dee looks emotional. She hugs Addie, then backs off and resumes petting the pig in Addie's arms. The dark-haired girl glances over at Dee. Now, outside, Tobin drags the beer keg with great difficulty. He does not see the Reston twins approaching him. Keon exits the restaurant to greet Tobin. Tobin looks up and sees the twins. Keon also sees them. His smile fades.
Hey, Chad. You know, I swear I've seen that keg before. I know I've seen that kid before. On his ass, on the ice.
Tobin removes the hood of his wise man coat.
So I stole your keg?
He pushes up his sleeves.
Come on, man. Bring it on. Try me, huh? You don't know my story. You don't know where I'm from. You don't know me. Yeah, I went to piano camp. So? You know, I used to have a peanut sensitivity, but I beat it. Do you know how hard that is? Do you? Fear of raccoons? No. A couple of months of therapy and done!
Chad cracks his knuckles. He points at Tobin.
This guy is crazy, man! That's what I'm talking about! Wearing a weird-ass costume? Yelling about raccoons and shit? Fucking nipple bleeding? Let's get this guy a drink, man! Let's turn this party up a notch, huh?
Keon enters the Waffle Town, followed by Tobin and the twins, who help him carry the keg. More people arrive.
Who's Darcy?
Dee makes her way through the crowd and approaches the dark-haired girl.
Look, I don't know what's going on with you, but I'm not doing this hot and cold thing. I liked you. And when we hung out, I felt like we really got each other. I kind of thought you felt the same way, and that's rare, you know? But it's bullshit how you've treated me today. Whatever your problem is, it's got nothing to do with me.
She turns and walks away.
Don't throw up. Oh, this moment, don't throw up.
Later, one of the other dancer girls chats with Tobin.
But then the other half of me is like, Kylie Jenner didn't go to college. I could live at home and save money and focus on my songwriting.
Yeah, I think you should listen to that half of you. It's a solid plan. Excuse me?
Tobin walks away. She turns to the dark-haired girl.
Oh my God. How long was I talking for? I'm gonna go get a couple of drinks. I have one. They're both for me.
Now, in her bedroom, Julie receives a notification on her phone. She crosses the room and picks up the phone. She opens a video message from Keon.
Hey, yo, it's popping off at the Waffle Town. Get your asses down here now.
Julie looks up from the phone. At the Waffle Town, more and more people are arriving. On the Waffle Town roof, Tobin sits on a metal lawn chair holding a drink. He looks up into the darkness at the falling snow.
Hey.
Tobin looks over and sees Angie standing nearby.
Hey.
He stands up and approaches her. They stand a few feet apart, facing each other, the Waffle Town sign missing the W in the background.
Angie, I'm in love with you. And it's not like, you know, in a traditional sense or anything. It's more like I think of you every moment of the day. And I just want you to think I'm cool all the time. You know, when something funny happens, you're the only person I want to tell. When something sad happens, I just want to know if you think it's sad. And when I saw you with JP, I wanted to kill him. Like, I actually want her to murder him. I want to be with you for the rest of my life, Angie.
Wow. That was actually all pretty traditional.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty good. You know, as soon as I said it, Yeah.
Now I want to tell you something.
He nods.
I freaked out about it being you. For me. But it is you. It's always been you.
Tobin moves in and kisses her. They stand on the roof kissing, silhouetted by the glowing light of the broken waffle sign. They separate.
Let me ask you a question. We still hang out with JP. I like that guy.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What the hell are you wearing?
He steps back and displays the wise man costume.
I'm a wise man.
Angie smiles. They kiss. Now, Julie arrives at the party. She makes her way through the crowd and looks around. Billy heads for the kitchen, carrying a tray of glasses.
Whoa. We got sharps on the ground! Nobody sit down!
Dee also carries a tray.
Could you actually save my life and get a mop from the closet? It's by the office!
Yeah, sure, okay.
Next, Julie enters the supply room and turns on the light. While searching the room, she spots something on an upper shelf.
No way.
Next, Julie and Billy climb onto the roof, carrying the missing letter W.
Aw, that's nice.
Oh, hi, guys.
Tobin and Angie.
Hey.
Hi.
So do you guys mind if we borrow some of that electricity for these colorful bulbs?
Soon after, they all admire the restored W, which they illuminated by wrapping it in a string of colored lights.
My darling, we don't have a choice.
Julie looks out at the dark sky as the snow continues to fall. She smiles at the restored sign, then heads back down. Now, outside the front door, Dee takes a selfie with Addie and the piglet.
Hey.
The dark-haired girl approaches.
Right. Sorry to interrupt, but can I talk to you for a second?
Dee looks at Addie. Addie nods and steps away.
Dory, I'm really sorry. You were right. When we hung out, that was the best night of my life. But I lied to you. I'm not out.
Wait, what? You had that whole story about your mom.
Yeah, because you told me your story, and it's so exactly how I want mine to go. I want to be like you. You're out, and you're so sure of yourself, and you're open, and you're, like, intimidatingly cool.
I'm not intimidatingly cool.
You know, when I saw you today, I was so excited, but also crazy scared, because my friends don't know. So, I handled it,
like, really badly.
Like, really, really badly. But you inspired me. I mean, just like that night, you make me feel brave. And you make me feel like I want to be the best possible version of myself, so.
She smiles and steps closer to Dee. They kiss.
It's coming on Christmas, that's what Jody's telling me.
They separate and smile at each other. Then they look at the restaurant. All of the other dancer girls are watching them through the window, waving and cheering. They wave back. Inside, behind the counter, Keon looks at his phone. He puts it in his pocket and looks disappointed. Billy.
What's up? What happened?
Tempest isn't actually coming anymore.
Oh, okay. That sucks, man. I'm sorry.
They look out at the crowded party where everyone is dancing and having fun.
You know, I'm okay with it.
Billy pats Keon on the back. Behind the counter, Keon performs a little pop and lock move. Billy joins in. The two of them dance as the party rages on. The little pig trots around between people's legs. Addie.
Have you seen a pig? Look out for the pig! Have you seen a pig?
What?
A dancer girl.
Like ever?
Forget it.
Addie moves on. She pushes through the crowd, searching.
That's my pig!
Oh.
JP is holding the pig.
Cool.
He smiles at her. Now, Julie and Dee.
This was a crazy day.
Oh my god, tell me about it.
At the beginning of today, I actually hated this song, but now I think I actually
love it.
Dee's eyes widen. Julie turns around to find Stuart standing behind her. Stuart smiles.
What are you doing here?
I never got to try that waffle.
I was actually thinking about you and what I said earlier. Turns out one day actually can make a difference.
They kiss.
Oh, girl, something is different. I couldn't hide it if I to hide it if I to go.
After a long kiss, Julie puts her arms around Stuart's neck and they slow dance to the music. Behind the counter, Keon suddenly pulls off his headphones.
Holy shit! Stuart bails on my party?
Billy.
Oh, yeah, he was here earlier.
What?
Julie.
So, any plans to be in New York?
When does Columbia start?
Julie smiles. She moves in closer and rests her head on his chest as they continue dancing. The view moves out to reveal the crowded restaurant filled with active partygoers having fun. In slow motion, various views of Dee jumping up and down with the group of dancer girls and of Tobin dancing with Angie. Stuart stands on the counter, happily leading the crowd. Slow motion scenes of Dee dancing with her new girlfriend. More slow motion scenes of excited partygoers on the crowded dance floor. Everyone gathers around a dancing Keon, cheering him on. Voiceover, Tinfoil Woman.
See? Didn't I tell you? Snow can make a difference, especially on Christmas Eve. And sometimes it's not just the eve of Christmas, it's the eve of everything.
of the rest of your life.
Suddenly, on the roof, the W lights up from within, matching the other letters in the sign. Tinfoil Woman watches from her truck. Voiceover.
So even if it gets you stranded, or stuck in a snowbank, or makes you fall on your ass, sometimes you just gotta let it snow.
Snow continues to fall as the view moves up to the night sky.
Who?
Credits, directed by Luke Snellen. Screenplay by Laura Solon, Victoria Strauss, and Kay Cannon. Based on the book Let It Snow by John Green, Lauren Miracle, and Maureen Johnson. Produced by Dylan Clark, PGA, and Alexa Fagan, PGA. Executive producers Brendan Ferguson and Bo Bauman.
Yeah, I told my people that we gon' fly. Long as we touch people, then we don't die. Just focus on you, people gon' lie. And I've been in the gym working on my own stride. Took a minute, but I stopped worrying about.
Edited by Evan Henke. Music by Keegan DeWitt. Music supervisor Season Kent. Casting by Deanna Brigitte.
I've been on the snippets, and they sleep like my name is Sheet. People hate working hard, and they love the tweet. See, my mama love me, you can hate the tweet. Made a man out of me like my name was Ping. So the feet, I moved every doubt a week. What's the peak when every day's another reach? Fuck a grudge, but I don't turn the other cheek. What's the rush to everything is supposed
don't
to be?
You know, just take your time.
Cast. Isabella Merced as Julie. Shamik Moore as Stuart. Odea Rush as Addie. Liv Hewson as Dee. Mitchell Hope as Tobin. Kiernan Shipka as Angie. Matthew Daniel Noska as JP. Jacob Batalon as Keon. Miles Robbins as Billy. And Joan Cusack as Tinfoil Woman.
I'm black, they mystic, fuck off in opposition. Futuristic, seeing people out the prison. Not realistic, there's enough foster piss.
With Darcy Carden as Kira, John Champagne and Jamie Champagne as the Reston twins, Mason Gooding as Jeb, and Halia Jones as Madison, a Dylan Clark Productions production.
People leech off clout, but they don't grow. Was kind of salty when I wasn't in that one post. Top 10, we gon' blow from Chicago. You can't stone somebody for.
Now, more scenes from the Waffle Town party. Keon works as DJ. The view moves around the room from couple to couple. First to Julie and Stuart dancing together. Next, Tobin twirls Angie around, then brings her close. Their foreheads touch as they dance. One of the dancer girls twirls and spins, finally coming to rest near the Reston twins. They hand her a drink. Dee and her girlfriend dance with the rest of the dance team. The view moves past JP and Addie dancing together to the counter where the little pig is munching a plate of corn chips.
Take a couple of tries, but now the snow is falling just right.
Yeah,
mistletoe right under the door. Hold you close, then hold you some more. Ain't the fireplace that's keeping us warm? Like nothing that I've had before.
Yeah.
Girl, something here is different. I couldn't hide it if I had to hide it if I had to. Girl, this ain't any Christmas. I can't believe that it's the first Christmas that I love you. Just another year, 'cause it feels like nothing ever wants to change here. That's why I'm so happy you're in a fit. Oh, I don't need a tree full of gifts. I didn't even make a list. I got more than that from your kiss. I hope all the rest are like this. Oh, well, girl, something here is different. I couldn't hide it if I had to hide it if I had to. Girl, this ain't any Christmas. I can't believe that it's the first Christmas that I love you.
Copyright 2019, Netflix US LLC. All rights reserved.
Christmas, I can't believe that is
the flashing lights of the tow truck as it drives off down a snow-covered road. Voiceover.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.